Okay, for this morning's message, we're going to the Bible. We're going to the New Testament of the Bible. We're going to one of Peter's epistles. 2 Peter chapter 1. As far as I know, at this particular moment, we're going to look at two portions of Scripture, one in first chapter of 2 Peter, the other in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. I was only going to take about two verses in this first chapter of Peter, but I got to looking at it, and we may have to take a running start and cover a little more than two verses. But there's been something on my heart. One of the difficult things for Christians to do is to really be able to get into the Word and to have a spiritual understanding of what they're reading and to really love it. I've heard a number of people complain about the Old Testament, for example. They say it's just history, and they just don't get much out of the history. It gets boring. Well, when all you see is the history, it does get boring. You say the same thing for the New Testament. You only see the history of the early church. We want to see a little bit more. But the Old Testament and the New Testament both have the same message. It's really the same thing. It's not presented in the same way necessarily, but it's the same message. And that's why Jesus told his disciples that it was necessary for them to have their understanding open up so that they can understand and find Christ in the Pentateuch, in the Psalms, and in the prophets, because it was all about Him. And He talked to the Pharisees about it and said, if you can't hear my word, you're not really understanding what Moses happened to say, because Moses spoke of me. Jesus had a way of endeavoring to get across the fact that we have to hear more than the actual words that are being spoken. He would give a parable. I often use this example. We gave the parable of the sower that went out and sowed the seed, and depending upon where the seed was sown, determined what kind of harvest there was or whether there would be a harvest. Of course, the Jews were agricultural people. They didn't have any trouble understanding the principles of sowing, planting, and harvesting. Nevertheless, after giving the parable, Jesus said, if you have ears to hear, hear. Meaning, if you have the ability to hear, hear what's underneath the surface. There's a special message that's being carried by the words, and that is the life of the Lord Himself. And if you're just reading history, just a mental understanding of what you're reading, you miss the life. There has to be something more there. Peter talks about this. He realizes that it's difficult for a person to hear something one time and to be able to understand what's really being said, that it's important to hear it again and again and again and again. And we're going to see where he talks about that. That is important. So it's not only important to keep hearing it over and over, it's important to keep reading it over and over, you see. So let's get started here. We'll begin with verse 3. And we'll work ourselves up to verses 12 to 15, because that's where I'm really heading. Verse 3, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I wonder how many of us really catch what Peter is saying there. He is saying all things that pertain unto life and godliness has been given to us. And there, all that is hid right here in these scriptures, if you can find them. through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And then, of course, the Greek reads through the true knowledge. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. And I don't know how the religious world has missed seeing that. Or we ought to read that over and over 1,000 times maybe to realize, hey, God expects us to partake of his divine nature. That means we should expect a nature change. Do you realize that much of Christianity doesn't even teach that? And by partaking of his divine nature, in verse 4, we escape the corruption that is in the world through lies. And then he says, beginning in verse 5, besides this, give all diligence. You know, diligence requires much effort. Giving all diligent, or giving much diligent, much effort. Put forth much effort. Add to your faith virtue. And see, faith by itself is not going to accomplish what you need. You have to add virtue to that faith. And then to virtue has to be knowledge. So faith and virtue by itself is not enough. You have to have some knowledge with it. And we're not talking about knowledge like you would receive in school or reading textbooks or what have you. We're talking about God's knowledge. Verse 6, and add to knowledge, because that's not complete yet. Add to knowledge temperance. Well, that means self-control. Have some self-control. Have some control over your self-nature. If you don't, you're not going to get anywhere in God. And to self-control, patience, which is more accurately perseverance. You're going to have to persevere. Why? Because there's going to be opposition to this. You don't add these things like Peter's talking about here without having some opposition. And so there's going to be some perseverance, diligence, great effort, and you're going to need self-control, perseverance, and add to your perseverance godliness. After all that, you still need to add some godliness. And, verse 7, to godliness, brotherly kindness. Now, you might think this strange, but true kindness is not that easy to come by. We hear people say, well, that person he's very kind, or she's very kind, or has a good heart or something. Boy, that's not what it's talking about here. This is brotherly kindness. And not just two brothers within a natural family. This brotherly kindness is talking about something that's a part of divine nature, you see. So that brotherly kindness is something to be greatly desired. And then following that, brotherly kindness, charity. That's an old King James word that really waters it down. The Greek word there is agape, which means love. And it's not people love. It's not any kind of love you've ever experienced within your man nature. This is talking about divine love. Agape always speaks of divine love. And I might add this, if you're using a King James Bible, every time that word charity is found, in the Greek, it's agape. Every time in the New Testament. All right. Now in verse 8, Peter says, if these things are in you and they abound, they will make you, that you will never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off. You see, if you lack these things, then you're blind. When he said you can't see afar off, I mean, you can't see out of your own man world into God's world, because there's a great distance there. And you have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. And so it's not talking about people of the world here. He's talking about Christians. Christians, if you lack these things, you're blind and can't see afar off, and you've forgotten about how you were purged from your old sins. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. So I said, now you want to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. See, so that you won't ever fall. And so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now it gets into, how do we do that? In verse 12, Peter says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. I'm going to keep reminding you and reminding you, and I'm going to keep telling you and telling you over and over and over again, though you know them, that you might be established in the present truth. There's a verse over in the book of Proverbs, hope deferred makes the heart sick. There's a spiritual application to that. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. If you're not experiencing the Lord in the present, a sickness moves in so that you're only able, you only see the things of God in the past and in the future. If you're not advancing in what Peter was just talking about in these things, your man nature is going to start moving God into the past, and next thing you know, you're reading the scriptures, but you're only seeing what he did before. Or you're only seeing what he's going to do one day, and suddenly the present movings of the Lord. In other words, we want to be established in a present truth. All the truths of God, that all the divine power given unto us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, must be a present truth. Not a truth of the past, not a truth of the future, but a present truth. Let me read that again. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. That is, to keep reminding you of these things, though you know them, that you may be established in the present truth, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle. In other words, guys, you know, I'm going to leave this old world. I'm going to die. I'm not going to be here to teach you. I'm telling you over and over and over and over and over again now, so that you'll remember, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. We know that Peter was martyred, and he realized he had a limited amount of time that he could teach these people that he loved so much. And so he was going to be determined to continue to teach them over and over and over again, so they remember. He knows that old human nature, what people are like, and they don't keep hearing it, keep hearing it, keep hearing it. They'll forget it. It's like they say that when you learn a new language, for example, you either use it or you lose it. I experienced that one. I majored in French. Don't ask me to speak any French. I've never used it, and I've lost it, you see. 14 again, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. I want to minister this thing to you so much until after I'm gone that you'll remember it. When I'm not here to remind you anymore, what you need to know. It's going to be written upon your heart. Back in, is it in Ezekiel? I don't remember, but somewhere in the Old Testament, Ezekiel, I think, maybe Jeremiah, the Lord says, I will write my words upon your heart so that you might do them. That isn't done in a skinny second. I'll tell you how the Lord writes things upon your heart, by having a man of God that speaks the living word, and he speaks it, and he speaks it again, and he speaks it again, and you hear it again, and you hear it over and over and over and over, you hear it. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, we have this ministry of writing the word upon your hearts. And it's not like you sit down and write something on a piece of paper. There it is. No, this writing upon the heart has to be over and over and over and over again, so that it doesn't ever leave that heart. You understand what I'm saying? This is important. It's important for you to hear the present truth. It's not so important for you to hear, not as important for you to hear what God did in the past or what he's going to do in the future. What's important is that you hear what he's speaking right now, that what God did in the past becomes a present truth to you. And what he's going to do in the future that people speak of, that has to be a present truth to you. You see. Now, we'll shorten this up. We'll go to Revelation chapter 1. We'll look at the first three verses of the first chapter. Right, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, which things must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, quite plainly, what John tells us here at this very first verse is that the book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Its purpose is not to be a revelation of the Antichrist or a revelation of Babylon or a revelation of that. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. And you want to be careful that you don't let your thinking slop over into some negative thing. But don't we need to know about the Antichrist? Oh, yeah. And the best way to learn about the Antichrist is to learn to know the true Christ. And once you know him, I tell you what, once you really know the Lord, you won't have any trouble recognizing something that's not of him. Because you're going to be exposed to his presence and exposed to his presence and exposed to his presence by somebody like Peter or Paul. It's going to keep telling you and keep speaking the word, keep writing it upon your heart until it becomes a real living reality to you, you see. And this same thing will be said for every other book in this Bible. Every book in the Bible has one purpose, to bring you a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's it. And that's what you should be looking for. All right, verse 2. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Now, I would recommend that you get the little book we've done, which is titled The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's just on this first chapter. And it will explain to you a lot of what I'm skipping over. Okay? Because verse 3 is what I'm interested in here primarily this morning, because it has to do with what Peter was talking about. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Blessed is he that reads. Now, You can sit down and you can read the book of Revelation, and many people have read it and said, I don't understand it. In fact, we have evidence. You see, there's one commentary after another. I must have at least a half a dozen different commentaries on the book of Revelation. And what each one of those books says to me is, I don't understand it. Because they come up with different things, and they have their opinions of what they think it means, and it's very obvious that they're not reaching the truth. Blessed is he that reads. So just reading the words, even with the mental understanding, is not what it's talking about. There's a particular Greek word that is translated read here. Anagnosko. But what that word means literally, a word for word translation from the Greek would mean to know accurately again. In other words, you read it one time and you get something from it, usually a mental understanding of what's being said. Then you read it again. Then you read it again, and you keep reading again, and pretty soon you begin to know it accurately. You begin to see the things that are written underneath. You see, it's kind of like what Peter was talking about. I'm going to tell you again and again and again and again until you know. But to know accurately again. I remember a very important ministry in my life many years ago when I was first coming up. He had what looked like a habit. You'd say something to him. You know how you spoke to somebody, maybe they would kind of turn the other direction. They turn around and say, huh? This brother, bless his heart, love him so much. But you say something to him, and he said, huh, what? I found out that it wasn't that he didn't hear what I said. He was wanting to hear it again. Because the first time he was hearing the words I was saying. The second time he was hearing what the words were carrying. The spirit of those words. And I learned a very important lesson from that. And that's the way it is with the scriptures. You can read it and you get a mental understanding. Go to the Old Testament, you read it and you get the history. Read it again and get the mystery. Hear it again. And that's what that is. That word, Greek word for read there is to know accurately again. It starts off with A-N-A, in the Greek word does, and that's the again part, to know accurately again. And lo and behold, to follow suit, the word for hear, when it says hear the words of this prophecy, that means to hear the life. In other words, it's basically, I don't know how to pronounce it, akouo, A-K-O-U-E, I don't remember, but I remember what the Greek word means. It means to hear again, or to hear the lie. In other words, you hear the words, but then you got to hear the life that's being carried by those words. And that's what that dear ministry, how often he did that. You say something to him and he comes back, what? And you find out he's hearing what those words are carrying. He hears you speak it again. Peter believed very much in this, and that's the reason that he knew he was going to die. His life was going to be short and he couldn't waste time. And so he had to present the present truth to them over and over and over again. I encourage everyone to read the books and read them again and read them again. Listen to the messages and listen to them again and again. And that's the reason we put the audio messages on the web page, so you can download it. You can listen to it over and over. And after you've heard it a couple of dozen times, who knows? You may start really hearing it. That's important, very important. Now, we send out a weekly email message. Every week we send an email message. Sometimes we'll get up something new, but more often than not we'll send an old message that's come in the past, or maybe a portion of it. Or we might send a section out of one of the books, an excerpt, what have you. But we not only send the weekly email message, we try to send one or two in between. because I understand this principle that it's very important for you to hear it over and over and over again. So, when you receive one of our messages on the email, he's read this before, I've heard this before, read it again, hear it again, you need it. It needs to be heard and read over and over and over again. And that's the way the Lord writes His Word upon your heart. Amen.